Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
Once upon a time, there lived a poor widow and her son, Jack. One day, Jack's mother told him to sell their only cow, and on the way to market, Jack met a mysterious man who wanted to buy his cow for 5 magic beans. Jack took the deal and returned home to his mother, who threw the beans out the window, enraged at her son's financial illiteracy, for which she likely had only herself to blame. The next morning they looked out the window and a huge beanstalk had grown from the magic beans that reached from the ground to the clouds. Jack and his mother then sold tickets to passing pilgrims and tourists to view their cool bean monument and sold knockoff bean sculptures with little googly eyes for $12 a pop and lived happily ever after. Sometimes Jack's mother asked him how he had known the beans were really magic, and he'd look out the mirror and say, "It was something in the man's eyes. If I didn't know any better, I'd say, it was the gargle." Welcome to The Gargle, the sonic glossy magazine to The Bugle's audio newspaper for a visual world, a podcast that has all of the news and none of the politics. I'm your host, Alice Fraser, and your guest editors for this week's edition of the magazine are Tom Neenan.
Hello!
Hello, and Pierre Novelli, welcome.
Hi, hi, hi. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good.
She said in a wavering voice, "Are you in a hotel room? Are we allowed to say that? It's an audio medium, but I'm seeing it visually."
Yes, I think we do have a YouTube version of this show available for people who like to ignore the visuals while they're listening to their podcasts. But yes, I'm in a hotel room in Melbourne. I'm here for a couple of days, and without my toddler, which is exciting.
Oh wow!
Also very sad. It's a mix.
Could you ask the hotel to send a toddler up, maybe? If you miss the sort of chaos, they could send you one, complimentary toddler.
Well, yeah. Today I ate for dinner. I ate some ramen and felt very bereft by having nobody to feed the bits to, all the good bits. Before we all sit around the communal hot pot that is this week's top stories, let's have a look at the front cover of this week's magazine. The front cover this week is Sam Bankman-Fried posing provocatively with an extremely cross-examination, conclusively demonstrating on every front exactly the kind of smug, compulsively glib rationalist tap-dancing word jugglery that led him to think he could out-tango regulators, customers, and the physics of business to the tune of $32 billion. On the bright side, his name will go down in history for terrible man-made disasters with Mr. Ponzi, Sir Pyramid, and the Hindenburg. Pierre, have you been following FTX and the subsequent trial?
I've been following it as much as I can ever comprehend cryptocurrency and how on earth any of this could happen. I file it away in the same part of my brain as the fact that, at least until recently, people were paying millions of dollars for a JPEG of a monkey. So I sort of go, I accept it. I don't deny it. I go, oh, okay. I accept this reality because I must. I can't really do much more than accept it. I just go, oh yes, okay. I sort of feel like a kind of very out of touch and powerless king when news like this happens. Like, so a courtier comes in and says, "Sire, the people are giving away all their money for pictures of apes." And I just have to go, "Ah, well, I see." I have no insight. Or is it just that it's too good to be true every time? Like, if people just can't resist if someone just shows up and says, "Why, I've got a way that money can never stop." And instead of thinking like, "Oh, I hope this isn't at the very least impossibly risky, if not a scam, like the last 100 times," and then they just fall for it. It just seems to work over and over again.
Well, yes, I think you have a few different schools of thought when you're presented with this kind of opportunity, which is you can either be like, "Ah, well, suckers would fall for this, but if I get in before them, I can sell this off to suckers before the whole thing collapses." Or you think this can't possibly be as stupid as it sounds, so I must be missing something, and you steer clear of it, thereby preserving all your money. Or you just buy it hook, line, and sinker, at which point you're the one left holding the bag of Dogecoin or whatever the f*** happens to you this week. And the satirical cartoon this week is a video of Joe Rogan shattering an arrow on a prototype of Elon Musk's new Cybertruck. Sorry, that's not a satirical cartoon. That's just a video Elon Musk posted this week on increasingly waterlogged and disinformation-clogged social media platform X. It's hard to do satire in times like this. Have you seen the video of Joe Rogan firing an arrow at a truck?
Is that real?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I believe the caption was actually Joe Rohan fires it. He spelt it wrong. And I thought that was at first a very clever Tolkien reference. And then I remembered the riders of Rohan aren't archers. That doesn't make any sense.
Was it to prove that the truck is arrowproof?
Yes. It was to prove that the truck was arrowproof. Elon Musk contended or declared on with little kind of evidence that this kind of arrow shot from this distance from this kind of bow would have gone through a normal car.
I do wonder, like,
didn't go through the Cybertruck.
are we stupid? Are we dumb for not wanting an arrowproof car? Do they know that a sort of Mad Max thing is coming? And then in like 5 years, people will be like, "Wow, I mean, thank God we have an arrowproof car, because those wasteland raiders are sure hungry for our bags of crystallized sugar."
Well, I feel this is sort of a post hoc way of trying to make the Cybertruck look cool, which he has sort of failed to do on the kind of design front.
Do you think he's forgotten that people can't just buy things if they vaguely look cool? Like, they can, but they don't have the funds. They're not as whimsical with their funds. Mm. They don't just go, "Oh, a cool truck, I'll buy that." It has to work. It has to be a car.
Mm. And sort of fit into a bracket where it matches sort of affordability and practicality. Yeah. That sweet spot that nothing at Tesla do sort of seems to exist in.
Exactly, yeah. Because they're just, you know, everything should just be whatever, a Volvo or something.
Yeah.
But no one, that's not cool. That's not exciting.
No. I want a moat-proof Harrier jet. That's what I want. Just to combine the two types of warfare we'll be engaging in the future.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it'll add an extra spice to car ads rather than a slick new Italian sports car moving smoothly over landscapes followed by drones. It'll be a sort of a clunky looking cyber machine jumping through obstacles and fighting off archers.
They seem to want to make futuristic technology that's still like the computers in Alien, where it's like green text code on a massive thick screen. Like, it's old futuristic. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I mean, retrofuturism is the future of futurism, Pierre. Get on board.
Do they just never watch what happens to the really rich people in those films? Because Paul Reiser in Aliens and all these people, it never ends well for them, and that's them. They're not cool Ripley. They are Paul Reiser in his weird suit.
It brings me back to my central contention about Elon Musk, which is that we read the same sci-fi as teenagers. We just disagree on who the heroes are. And now it's time for our top story. Our top story this week is physics-defying sperm news. And this is quantum sperm news. This is the original preboot of Back to the Future, I assume. The news that sperm has seemingly been detected defying some of the laws of physics. Tom Neenan, you've met sperm before. Can you unpack this story for us?
Only fleetingly. This is basically something that happens a lot when I'm on The Gargle, which is I end up covering a story where I think the real truth is that a scientist was caught masturbating and quickly had to find a reason to excuse themselves. So yes, basically, is it Kanata Ishimoto, which is a mathematical scientist in Kyoto University, and his colleagues, important to add that, say, right, okay, I'm going to try and get this right, this exact quote. Okay, so it's the asymmetric interactions with animals behind them and the fluids that surround them forming a loophole of equal and opposite forces that actually allow sperm to skirt Newton's third law of thermodynamics. Let's get it on. That's the quote. So basically it's that sperm can apparently go through things that physically they should not be able to go through, that they are able to somehow penetrate different membranes that seemingly it would be impossible to do, thus proving Tom Jones wrong that leaving your hat on is a legitimate form of contraception. And they've been trying to work out why that is, and it's something to do with this odd motion. I'm doing it with my hands, which is pointless, but that allows them basically animals behind them and the fluids that surround them forming a loophole of equal and opposite forces, which then allows them to penetrate it. So one sperm can't do it, but when they're all acting in unison in this material, that's when they're allowed to do it. Have I understood this correctly?
Yeah, so Newton's third law is that for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And the way that sperm moves is what's called non-reciprocal, which you don't want to bring into the bedroom as a principle. But it doesn't seem to cause a kind of a backlash in the material through which they move in concert. Pierre?
Yeah, they've got the weird wiggly tails that have, like, the article uses the word motility a lot. Basically, they move in a kind of flailing spiral that means that they don't get stuck in the gloop. You should get stuck in gloop if you're in gloop. That's one of the Newton's laws, was gloop. If you're in gloop, you should be stuck. That was one of his big first discoveries, when some sperm fell on his head and he realized that it shouldn't be able to move like that.
So they're called non-reciprocal interactions, and they tend to show up in unruly systems that seem to defy these laws of physics. So flocking birds can do it, particles in fluid, swimming sperm, bros on a podcast, all of them can manage to kind of defy the normal consequences of their actions.
I got the impression that there was he was talking about two things where, like, a murmuration of starlings creates, like, air currents and stuff that keeps energy in the system, but also that the tail of the sperm specifically was moving in such a way that it didn't have any energy transfer lost to the sort of fluid around it. So it might be able to do it on its own, even.
Oh, I assumed it was like a group activity, so to speak.
Something about how they can't even quite reproduce the weird kind of jointed and unjointed at the same time tail action of these little these little guys.
It's amazing that there's such a feat of engineering, given how basic they are, given that they sort of, you can't whittle human beings down to a more basic form of life, and yet it's baffling scientists.
Of all the things that you can't reproduce, you'd think sperm wouldn't be one of them.
If anything, we have surfeit of it. We're drowning in the stuff. But there seems...
I don't know about your Saturday night, Tom.
Yeah, Tom, I think you're right. I think this guy just had a... This guy had some sperm on his hand, and someone burst in, and he immediately transitioned to looking at his hand and sort of going, "Huh." That was how he opened. He opened by going, "Huh, what?"
I'm glad you're here, actually.
Actually, I've got a question for you. You see this? You see this? How do they do that?
Are you f***ing a microscope, or are you just happy to see a non-rational interaction of the laws of physics? It's your ad section now, because you can't be what you can't buy. And this section of the show is brought to you by High Visibility Workwear. For something that demands you look at it, it's not very good to look at. Are you Blade the Daywalker, neither vampire nor human, driven by your dark blood to seek violence but by your human side to fight for justice? Constantly hunting, ever hunted, driven by a thirst you can never slake? Well, it's unlikely, but if you are, try half a glass of water. You never see Blade hydrating, I'm just saying. I know it was the 90s and before water talk, but you can't live on serum alone, and I'm just saying, he looks like he's got a headache. He could do it. And do you hate having perspective? Are you worried you'll go through the world seeing things in a balanced and proportionate way that reflects the reality of the reality around you? Try spending all your time engaging with social media drama online. Guaranteed to make you sound like a complete maniac to anyone with a real life, social media drama is the quick fix to a reality that, let's be honest, is only ever going to end in the heat death of the universe. And even then, who knows? Social media, like strapping a GoPro to a coked out lizard, it's guaranteed to change your perspective on life. And this ad section is brought to you by The Bugle, which means you can help to keep the gargle alive and thriving by joining Team Bugle. Go to thebuglepodcast.com/donate to make a one-off donation, or you can become a Team Bugler to get bonus perks, including an Ask Andy podcast exclusive to subscribers. So if you want that, you can get that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Space news now, and this is the news that what astronauts really need is a big man with a strong grip, as far as I can tell. Apparently, NASA is struggling to open a sample container with asteroid bits in it. Pierre Novelli, you know how to open a jar. Can you unpack this story for us?
Yeah, so basically, NASA sent up a craft to take samples from an asteroid and organized it very carefully. They're very careful at NASA. I would say they're almost excessively careful. And they managed to get it so that the canister full of delicious asteroid rocks, we presume delicious, landed back on Earth so they could open it and eat them and enjoy some fresh rocks from space. But wouldn't you know it, the container has jammed shut. I think it was something to do with re-entry. I couldn't quite figure out from the article. I don't think they wanted to admit how they'd f***ed it. I think they were going, space waves, maybe, or something. What does it say? After multiple attempts at removal, the team discovered two of the 35 fasteners on the TagSam head could not be removed with current tools approved for use. They have to be careful because otherwise the space rocks get all f***ed up and not science anymore. If you let space rocks get dirty, they're not science anymore. And you have to go get more.
Yeah, they seem to be very carefully trying not to assign blame to any specific thing. Francis McCubbin, who's a curator at NASA, says the only problem is a great problem, and that's that we found a lot more sample than we're anticipating before even getting into the unit. And I feel like that's the kind of words of someone who's really f***ed it.
Yeah.
Like,
they've gone, if anything, it's the jar is too full of delicious space rocks. And that is a great problem for us to have here because of how much we love, at the very least, discovering a way to justify the budget we've spent on getting these tiny rocks back to Earth so that we can look at them. It must be tense, the budget meetings for these guys. Because the numbers involved aren't impressive. And especially Americans love big numbers, you know, in their sports, in their politics. We exceeded the mission's goal of collecting 60 grams of debris from the asteroid. That's not an exciting amount of debris.
What? Is there any exciting amount of debris?
1,000 tons. You know.
1,000 tons of debris is impressive.
Wow, that's so much. Well done, guys.
It feels like a bit of the problem that Gene Roddenberry set up with Star Trek, which is that part of the reason it was very difficult for the writers was that none of the central Star Trek cast could ever do anything that was like against the principles of Star Trek. So it was kind of an extremely difficult problem to solve because they all had to be acting honorably at all times. And this idea that you can't get dirt on your dirt and you have to use the specifically approved tool so that you know you haven't got any dirt on your dirt, so that you can properly examine the dirt, undirtied by dirt. It feels a little bit like you need to bring in a kind of a Deep Space Nine scenario with external characters who can behave irrationally.
Yeah, that's it.
Have they considered the two go-tos for me, which are one, run it under the hot tap, and two, get your dad to do it? Because those are the two. If you can't open something, give your dad a call. He'll sort it out.
Is this not just proof that everyone who works at NASA is a weak nerd?
Yeah, I think that actually what they should do is go, it's now a time capsule.
Yeah,
we decided it's a time capsule now, only to be opened when NASA scientists aren't sort of cucked nerds.
Yeah. Yeah, the astronauts refused to do it. They were straight, they're in the pub, they're being cool. They're like the jocks of NASA, whereas all the lab mill houses can't open this jar of space dust. It's embarrassing. Send in a bully, that's what I say.
Yeah.
Get those numbers up. More debris or I'll bully you. That's the new strategy for NASA.
So the astronauts literally came back, went, we were on an asteroid. We collected asteroid dirt. We put it in here. Here you go. Your job is to open it.
Yeah.
So they all sat there going, well, that is that is an insurmountable task you provided for
they
us.
They just
there.
Said, hey, nerd, catch. Yeah. And they threw it like an American football right at their chest. And it was very embarrassing. Why are they looking at asteroids? Apart from science brackets general and progress brackets human. But why?
So that people can mine it for lithium so we can keep running our rechargeable batteries.
Is it lithium again? God, we're so horny for lithium.
No offense to the billionaires who are all doing space missions because they seem cool and fun and not at all because they want to own the moon.
Yeah, what happened to wanting to own the moon? That was a good, honest villain's ambition, not just visiting it. We've forgotten how to dream.
They want to mine the moon, Pierre, I'm telling you.
Hollow out the moon, fill it with debris, fill it with all crap from our planet, all bobbleheads.
Should I be concerned that sort of a lot of the planet's future relies on sort of transferring to batteries and things for electric cars? And so far, our plan for making more batteries is we hope that it randomly falls from the sky, that the material needed for it is just flying by us in space and we can pick it up. Because if it doesn't fly by us from space, we don't have enough. And we have no plan for if we can't get any more.
Our plan is space deliveroo.
That was the dinosaur's plan too.
Second plan, get these spaceships nice and arrow-proof.
Now it's time for your reviews. As you know, each week we ask our guest editors to bring in something to review out of 5 stars. Tom, what have you brought in for us this week?
Yesterday was Halloween in the UK and everywhere, I think, All Hallows Eve. And I don't usually get many visitors to my house, but I thought I'd go all out yesterday. So I put the little jack-o'-lantern outside. I got loads of sweets in and I prepared for visitors. And I thought I would rate, I didn't get many visitors, but I'd rate the visitors' costumes that I got who came to my house. So number one, Ghost in Hat. A classic sheet with eye holes cut in it, but accessorized with a wide-brimmed sun hat. Added some much-needed whimsy, 4 stars. Vampire and Toilet Roll Mummy, who came as a pair. Both passable. Toilet Roll Mummy was sagging with moisture when it did reach my house. 3 out of 10 for those two. Girl of about 10 who wore a Hogwarts uniform with werewolf ears, who when I asked what she was, replied, I don't know. 4 stars. don't let anyone dim your spark. And finally, 7-year-old boy who was wearing a hoodie and jeans. And when I asked him what his costume was, no word of a lie, his dad stood behind him, said, he's me. And the dad was wearing the exact same outfit. 5 stars, no notes.
That sounds wonderful. Pierre, what have you brought in for us?
I would like to review getting an enormous reinforced mattress. That's what I've done. I had an old mattress. Every time I woke up in a ditch. A ditch of my own mass's creation. I've got too much junk in my trunk. I would wake up in a divot. So I went onto a website that was genuinely called something like Gorilla Beds. I ordered the kind of bed that they would make for a gorilla or a monster. And the address of the website, the email, was a Hotmail account. I got a reply from them far too quickly. But fair enough, I've got a mattress now that is largely bulletproof. And it has my back. 5 out of 5 for the enormous gorilla beds. Thank you to the presumably blacksmith who forged this insane bed.
I mean, 5 out of 5. Have you tried strapping it to your car and having Joe Rogan shoot an arrow at it? Speaking of billionaires, billionaire Zeppelin news now. Now that's the kind of billionaire I can get behind. Apparently, the new airship, which is funded by Sergey Brin, has been approved for dominating our skies. Pierre Novelli, you've smoked a pipe and worn a top hat before. Can you unpack this story for us?
Yes. So basically, it's Zeppelin time again. We thought we were free from the terrifying raids of 1914 and 15 here in London, but soon various Silicon Valley lunatics will be piloting very slow, very dangerous craft. Brin, he said he wants to develop these massive airships for humanitarian and cargo transport. Which is a nice idea, but it is it's a very pre-helicopter way of thinking about stuff, I think. We very much have helicopters that can do the same thing and much faster. And also, correct me if I'm wrong, but we are running out of helium. So I don't know if it's a good idea to transition to a series of enormous helium-filled balls that fly around instead of just helicopters. And I know that's not... Maybe, I don't know. Is it greener? Is it really greener?
I don't know if it is greener, Pierre, but I think it is definitely funnier if all of the people who make any announcements about it have just first had a lung full of helium.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. And they can say the word hello over and over again. Yeah, it's got electric motors and it's filled with helium and it's f***ing massive. And he's going to fly it around Silicon Valley and bits of Ohio, apparently, as well. And he seems to want us to believe that this is for something. And I do not. I think this is because he was bored and Zeppelins are cool. And I'm glad. I think it represents a return to the proper top hat and cape level villain style thinking. I think that's good for Silicon Valley. I think we're all bored of the Iron Man version of villainy that we've been enduring. I think this will go back to sort of tying a screaming lady to a railway line. a big Zeppelin. Mm-hmm. Jack the Ripper foiling Sherlock Holmes. Things like that. I think we're going to get back to writing a letter in invisible ink with a big quill.
Tell you what works really well as invisible ink and can also defy physics. No?
A big inkwell of jizz. That's what's good. That's in one cut from one of the Sherlock Holmes mysteries. This isn't just jizz, Watson. It's Dutch jizz. That's the...
From a left-handed, red-headed...
Yes. He was facing north when he ejaculated. You can see here. There really is nothing to the story for us as humans, but it is another way for this guy to escape angry mobs. So that is good. I think that's what he meant by humanitarian aid.
There's something about the rich and Zeppelins that I find inherently funny. To the extent that while it was a tragic loss of life, the Hindenburg... The thing about the Hindenburg is, it was a big bomb. And the big bomb that everyone ate dinner on. And one day the big bomb exploded.
Yeah.
And they had the audacity to call it, the humanity. When what they should have been saying was, oh, that thing that was definitely going to happen.
The big bomb exploded.
Yeah.
They should have shouted.
There's an exhibit there was an exhibit at one point at the Powerhouse Museum in Sydney, probably about 10 or 15 years ago, but it has stuck in my mind. It was a homemade dune buggy in which a group of young men had crossed, I think, the Sahara Desert. Mm. And unfortunately, in a tragic accident, one load of the dune buggy young men had not made it across the Sahara Desert. And they said it was a tragic accident. And I thought... That's not the phrase.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like a tragic homemade dune buggy accident in the middle of the Sahara Desert is not. Tragic or accident is wrong there somehow.
Yeah, whatever happened to perished in the attempt? That was the that's the Victorian adventurer's phrase. It's no like, he had a terrible accident on Mount Everest. No, he perished in the attempt. Yes. They were doing a crazy, brave thing, and you know, it went wrong. And
That's the phrase I was looking for, Pierre. Thank you. That's been bugging me for about 15 years.
What do you think is the amount of money that your bank account reaches where you start sort of going, and building Zeppelins and making all these plans to have dinner on a bomb? What's the amount of money where you start to live your life like someone in a cartoon lighting a stick of dynamite as if it's a cigar?
I think it's the second that it's a swimmable amount of money. The second you can dive into it and it's swimmable,
you mean McDuck's number?
Yeah, that's the mathematical equation.
Yeah, McDuck's number.
Any amount of money is swimmable if you get enough inflation going.
Yeah. That would be tragic if Scrooge McDuck was living in, sort of Weimar Germany. And actually, he just had a moderate income, but he just cashed it all out in pennies. That would be really sad.
Yeah, not enough Zeppelins in Zimbabwe for that to be true. We need a whole lot more Zeppelins in Zim.
Not to sound like even more of a nerd than the person who made quite a specific Star Trek writing reference earlier in this podcast, but I quite like the addendum here that is corrected at the end here to say this story was updated to correct engineering details on the Pathfinder 1, which is what this vehicle is called. 3,000 titanium hubs the vehicle has, not the 96 originally reported, and 10,000 carbon fiber tubes, not the 288 originally reported. And I like this clarification because unless you are actually building a Zeppelin, it means nothing to you. Like, those numbers could have been. This doesn't clarify. This doesn't give me a better vision of the Zeppelin. I was not misled by the previous numbers. I had no f***ing idea.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine some kind of, like, rogue Zeppelin engineer, like the old fisherman in Jaws, going, "What? There's nowhere near enough carbon fiber." Like, those maniacs, and starting to like ring them up and warn them. "You're going to kill them all. It's going to be that big dinner eating bomb again." Screaming down the phone. It's definitely that correction was the nerd, the sort of head Zeppelin henchman saying, it's actually like 8,000. It's so many.
Yeah.
It's loads, actually. You're really making me look like an idiot here.
But the plans also reveal that there's a little 2 meter gap when rebels need to detonate the Zeppelin. They need to go down a trench and then that's his weak point.
And horrifying man-made chimera news or spider worms. This is the news that adding spider DNA to silkworms creates silk stronger than Kevlar. Tom Neenan, you always look very well-dressed. Can you unpack this story for us?
Thank you. Certainly, I hate this story. I hate spiders. Why do I hate spiders? Because they've got eight legs. Doesn't sound that scary, but do bear in mind that's the equivalent of two tigers or four criminals. So that is scary. So basically, it's this form of science called biomimetics. Is that correct? Am I saying that correctly? Where they sort of, they take bits of, crazy bits of animals, and they try and use the sort of science behind how that animal does that thing to sort of help with synthetic creation. So they've got, like, examples here are shark-inspired swimming trunks, so that's fun. Gecko-inspired adhesives, I guess, with the little finger things. And from what I understand, they've also used the tail of a tiger for industrial kind of levers and things. So that's quite
handy.
That's what's
in Pierre's mattress.
Yeah. Tiny yeah. tiger tails.
Yeah, we had to have a lot of them hunted. The problem is that you can't breed them in captivity. They won't do it. So you have to keep a wild but maintained population for culling purposes.
Which is sort of, yeah... It's controlled, and then, but that's, you know, it's quite humane in that sense. You just sort of thin out the herd every now and again of the tiggers.
Yeah, you try and get the tiggers that are going to be killing each other in battles for dominance anyway.
to return to the actual horrifying
science. Yes. So this is the fact. So yes, spider silk, lovely spider silk. If you combine silkworm, if you splice the genes of a silkworm with the genes of a spider, is this correct? Then you create a silk which is both very strong and spooky. that is the most important thing. And also it can withstand, obviously, a hit from an arrow. And we should be doing this more, but apparently spiders are very difficult to farm because they're very charming on a farm and they befriend pigs and then they die. And that's a fact I read in a book. Is that right?
Heartbreakingly sad.
Yeah, they spend all their time writing messages instead of doing their job.
Exactly.
Can't be farmed.
Basically, spider silk has all of these incredible properties. It's, you know, tensile strength is phenomenal, but it's very hard to farm spiders because spiders are as scared of other spiders as you are and will attempt to kill them immediately. Mm-hmm. So it's very hard. So they've either got to breed a spider with a silkworm to make a peaceable fat spider, or they've got to somehow infuse spider silk making genomes into silkworms mm-hmm. in order to produce spider quality silk from inferior silkworm bottoms. And it seems like they're actually succeeding. They're getting these tensile strength fibers out of these silkworms that have 1.299 MPAs of toughness. Again, they could be saying anything, any string of letters or numbers, and I'd be like, ooh, that. Essentially, silkworms making silk that is six times as tough as Kevlar and 10 times as strong as nylon. And would definitely resist an arrow, even one from Joe Rogan.
Is this to scale? So, like, because I don't want to brag, I can, if I see a silkworm, a little bit of string from a silkworm, I can break it. Like, if and that's just... Like,
yeah, I've walked through spider webs with my face and I didn't get, like, I didn't get knocked on my ass. Yeah, there's got to be a limit to this.
Yeah.
I did always think that, where they always go like, there's nothing stronger than spider silk. And you think, I think I could cut it with a knife.
I think we're all missing the third step here, which is where once they've horrifyingly bred the spiders and the silkworms together, then they will breed the new mutant silkworm with an elephant.
yeah, now we're talking.
Yeah, that goddamn elephant shooting ropes. Not in that way. Sorry.
That's right. They're going to put it right in the balls, Tom. You've got exactly the right idea.
Do you know a better way?
We're going to... Look, I don't want to jack off an elephant either. But if you've got a better way of making bulletproof material, I'd like to hear it. This is the same guy from the Jizz story.
Yeah.
This is the worst reboot of like the Peter Parker.
To be fair, I am waiting for scientists to somehow harness the limitless energy of whacking off.
Yeah. Well, we know it defies physics and it's incredibly strong. It is basically Peter Parker is in the elephant jism. Let's make it happen.
And that brings us to the end of the show. I'm flipping through the ad section at the back of the magazine. Pierre, have you got anything to plug?
Yes, I'm on tour at the moment. Go on my Instagram to see the remaining tour dates. But the last big one is Leicester Square Theatre on the 23rd of November. That's the last outing for this show. It's straight, fresh from the fringe, 2022. In small letters after the phrase fresh from the fringe. So that's your last chance to see it if you're in London, 23rd of November. Why can't I just enjoy things at Leicester Square Theatre?
It's an excellent venue and you can get dumplings before or afterwards because you're in Chinatown.
Yeah.
Tom Neenan, have you got anything to plug?
Just follow me on Instagram rather than X because X is rubbish now. So follow me on Instagram at TP Neenan. There's the Sky short I did, which is still available on Sky or on Now TV if you want to find it. It's called Silo. It stars the brilliant Sunil Patel and Kyle Smith-Bino. Among others. So check that out if you so wish. That's it. Yeah, happy with that.
That's it. And thank you to our roving reporters this week. If you'd like to send in a story to us at Hello Garglers on X or Blue Sky, where we are The Gargle, I'm Alice Fraser. You can find me online at patreon.com/AliceFraser. I do weekly writers' meeting, salons, and various other updates to my life. It's a one-stop shop full of my stand-up specials, podcasts, and blogs. You can get the Dancy Lagarde reader at unbound.com. If you type in Alice Fraser at unbound.com, this is an Alice Fraser and Bugle Productions podcast. Your editor is Ped Hunter. Your executive producer is Chris Skinner. Andy Zaltzman has no official title, but just sort of loiters about in the spiritual background of this show. I'll talk to you again next week.
You can listen to other programs from The Bugle, including The Bugle, Catharsis, Tiny Revolutions, Top Stories, and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.